Now, I told you an untruth, for which I apologise, because the Royal Enfield Bullet, about which we're going to hear something shortly, may not be the world's fastest motorbike, as I stated. It may not even be the most reliable, but it is certainly one of the best loved. With its memorable design and distinctive engine sound, the Bullet has drawn loyal admirers from all over the globe. 50 years after the Indian production line for this British motorbike was launched, Steve Carver tells the story of this remarkable bike.
I'm trying to cross a busy road in India. It's 36 degrees and I'm surrounded by traffic and people. You've got auto rickshaws, cars, vans, trucks, they're all jostling for position. Market traders wheel trolleys up the same roads, and there's even cattle grazing in the gutter. And it was on a street much like this around about a year ago that I saw an old British motorcycle. It seemed to glide through the chaos. Its engine had this lovely, steady purr. It was of another time. I'm not a biker, but I soon saw these bikes all over India and discovered that this was a bike that had touched lives worldwide, a great British bike. I can remember that first day I saw it. It came close to me before it disappeared, and that's when I first saw the name, the Royal Enfield Bullet.
For really good runs, ride a Royal Enfield 350 Bullet, the really new motorcycle, made like a gun.
That was a 1950s ad for the Bullet, a time when this prize-winning bike was boosting the fortunes of Redditch in the West Midlands where it was made. The Bullet was to survive against all the odds and become the longest continually made bike in the world. Ray, too, was born in Redditch, and has had a lifelong interest in the Bullet. He even organised Redditch Revisited in 2003, an event that celebrated the company's contribution to the town. Stuart Allen has been chairman of the UK Royal Enfield Owners Club, and it's when you talk to people like them, you realise the great affection the bike creates.
When you're out on the road and you're riding, you actually become as one with the bike. You're not a motorcycle rider and bike. You are a team. And when you're 50, 60, 100 miles from home, that bike then becomes your best friend. You can listen to the engine, it'll talk to you. It'll tell you what it wants, what it needs, it'll tell you if it's too slow, if it's going too fast. The Bullet is your best friend.
We used to watch the testers coming out of the works, you know, when we're boys, you see them coming out. Of course, all the bikes were road tested by a test rider. They wouldn't be run on a test bed, they would be ridden. And the tester would sort the problems out and would be dispatched to the customer. Originally, the factory was a needle-making factory in Redditch. And about 1890, they got into a little bit of difficulty financially, and they were taken over by two young fellas who worked in the cycle industry. And Albert Eady, one of the partners, who was a salesman, won an order with the Royal Small Arms Factory in Enfield in Middlesex. To celebrate the order, which actually saved the company, they called their latest bicycle the Enfield. And a year later, they added the word Royal after the Royal Small Arms Factory. And of course, now you can see the connection with the Bullet.
Is that why that they call it the Bullet? Is that
I would think that's the connection, like a gun? Yeah. Because they were making parts for guns, which is really why they use that slogan, was because that's the highest standard of engineering you can achieve, is making parts for guns, or it was in those days.
Yes.
So that told the public that this was a very high standard of engineering we were doing here, you know.
In 1954, early 55, the Indians were looking for a motorcycle for their army. They obviously came across to the United Kingdom, as we were the largest motorcycle manufacturer in the world, and looked at the various makes and decided that the Royal Enfield Bullet was a bike for them. Ease of riding, ease of maintenance. It was also an exceedingly well-balanced motorcycle at low speed and able to cover rough terrain as well. Now, Royal Enfield's got the contract to produce the first 800 motorcycles and set up a factory in India to ensure that production would keep going out there and the Indians would obviously get a regular flow of bikes for their army. That factory was opened in 1955 in what was then called Madras and has been in production on the 350cc and from 1990 onwards the 500cc Bullets. Our British motorcycle industry just plodded on in its own sweet way through the 50s and 60s until the Japanese came in with some of their bikes, and in some respects, the British stuck their heads in the sand, refused to accept that anybody from Japan could compete with what the British were doing. Investment into tooling and future designs fell by the wayside, and Royal Enfield, like Norton, etc., became a victim of this. So Royal Enfield shut the factory doors at Redditch in 1968, I believe, and things were forgotten about.
Stuart Allen, and before him, Ray Two. Sadly, like all British bikes, bullets were to disappear in Britain in the 1960s. But across the other side of the world, things would be different. These old British bullets, curvy, with a big round headlight, low to the ground and solid, sometimes difficult to start, not even fast, were to be embraced by the Indian people. The Indian Army even used them to patrol the borders between India and Pakistan. My next stop was to see the place that the bullet has called home for the last 50 years.
I've just walked into the Enfield factory in Madras. I should say Chennai, because they changed all the names in 96. The first thing that hits you is the heat. It's got to be about 90 degrees in here. And they have these oscillating fans hanging from the high ceilings, but they're pretty ineffectual. But walking down the gangway, everything is very clean, everything is very organized. And they have these modern CNC computer-aided machines with perspex sliding doors, and there's a man standing next to each one as they watch the machine drill, turn and mill under the splashing coolant. Now, there's two buildings. There's the machining room where I'm in right now, and next door is the assembly plant where they put the bikes together.
In the Enfield plant, they make a new motorbike every 6 minutes. Pretty impressive. And export 2,000 a year. Ironically, 600 to the UK. But with all this new technology, some things remain. Standing in the far corner of the assembly plant was a small man, working alone and carrying on a tradition that hadn't changed since Redditch times. He was hand-painting the petrol tanks with two swirling gold lines that have become synonymous with the bullet.
Sir, how long have you been doing this job?
For the past 10 years.
And how did you learn?
Through my brother. My brother teaches me.
It's great to watch you work. How many petrol tanks do you do each day?
Each day, 100. 100.
100 a day?
Yeah, minimum.
Beautiful shapes. Every one you do, every Enfield bullet is done by you.
Yeah, myself and my brother, sir.
And your brother. Your brother works the other shift.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
And so another shift ended at Enfield. Only this time on the other side of the world. Workers left in the late day sunshine in their blue overalls, and others came in for the change of shift. And it was time for me to go into the city. I wanted to see ordinary bikers using the bullets in Chennai. It wasn't long before I met Jehanthi.
So this is your bullet?
Yes, it is.
How long have you owned the bullet?
The bullet is now 3 months old, but I had a bullet previously.
So you love the bullet?
Yes, I do.
And do you know the history of it? Do you know that it was once built in Britain?
No, I'm not very sure about that.
But why do you like the bullet so much?
That's because I was initially riding a 100cc Bajaj Kawasaki Bajaj. And it felt a little boring. I needed to move on, you know. I needed to ride something which was more empowering, and needed to ride something which is more bigger in size, and feel a little good when you're riding down, you know. It shouldn't be a boring ride always. So.
There are lots of bikes you could have bought, but was there any one reason why you bought this one?
Because the engine beat is nice, and it's just a little charming. The bike is very charming, that's it.
You enjoy riding it?
Yeah, I enjoy riding it.
Now, if you don't mind me saying, you're not very tall.
Uh-huh.
Is this a good bike for someone who's not tall?
Doesn't really matter, actually. It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
I've shortened the seats for my height.
Oh, you've shortened the seats?
Yeah, I've custom made the seats according to my comfort. and I do a little bit of weight training to manage the bike. It's a little heavy.
Now, you have a ribbon on the handlebar there. Does that mean anything?
That's a little bit of a gift from my mom. It is to prevent people casting eyes on my bike.
Very wise. She offered me a ride on her bike.
How heavy are you?
About 11 stone. Do you have stone here? No, it's kilograms, is it?
Kilo, yeah.
70 kilograms.
Oh.
Why, does that make a difference?
Doesn't. I just ask, curious.
Yeah, I'll need to cut down on the bargees.
That's it?
Okay, so we're taking this little side street. It's a lovely bike. It looks great in the night, doesn't it? With all the dashboard lit up.
Yeah, of course.
Do you feel quite safe on this bike?
Very safe. Actually, the bike is very stable on the roads, unlike the lighter bikes. You somehow placed so well on the roads, you know. I feel very gripped in, you know, stable.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
And strangely, if I get to ride another bike now, 100cc, feels like a toy.
Feels like a toy?
Yeah.
I don't mind you facing front and looking where we're going. That's
okay. You must be a little scared.
Yes, carry on.
You want to end the ride?
No, it's okay. Yeah, it feels really smooth. What do you do for a living?
I'm a fitness instructor.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I'm a personal trainer for people who want to enhance their fitness levels.
Is that why you were asking about my weight?
I guess it's one of the first things I ask people.
Do you find other people notice you when you're on this bike?
You get a lot of eyes watching you. I get a lot of eyes watching me, but I get over it. I wear thick jackets on. I wear my denim jackets. And still they notice. Some are good because some come and say, cool, you ride a big bike.
It was really nice meeting Jayanthi. Down the road, I heard another opinion on the bike.
It takes guts to drive an Enfield. Because I know, for one, that it's got a very notorious kickstart. And if you don't know that, you can't start it. And you can also tend to get a very, very nasty back kick.
Oh, I see. It flicks back on you.
Yeah.
It hits the leg or something.
So people who own this bike, you know, they are extremely possessive about this bike.
And they have a bad leg?
No. I mean, they know. So if they want to give it to a friend of theirs, then he will not know how to start that bike. And they feel very proud that, you know, it's like their baby and only they can start it and drive it and take it around.
Can you start one?
No.
Now it was time for me to travel right across South India. I boarded an old train for my journey to Calicut on the west coast in the province of Kerala. Adventure tourism is becoming big business in India, and many tour companies are using the Bullet to take people all over the country. I was traveling to Calicut to see Enduro India, a British company offering a 7-day bike adventure all around South India and raising money for charity. All, of course, on the Royal Enfield Bullet.
I'm actually about 20 miles outside Calicut, and I've been dropped off to meet Simon Smith. Now, Simon is the founder and coordinator of Enduro, and he's going to take me up to one of the resting stops for the riders. Now, I've been told that Simon's a bit of a stickler for time. And there's no safe waiting place on the road, so I'm standing down in a small ravine. It's quite hot. There's no shelter. He did say 10 past. Wait a minute. I can see something. This could be him. This could be him. Hello!
Hello, man, from the BBC!
Simon!
How's life?
Alright, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
How's
it's crazy
it going?
Out here.
Yeah, it's a hot day.
It's hot and busy and it's a
fairly demanding ride today.
Yeah. The Indian roads must be really difficult.
Indian roads are among the worst on earth. They appear not to have any rules at all. And it takes quite a long while for you to realise that they do actually have a lot of rules. It's just that we don't understand them straight away.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to get on the bullet in a minute. So what's going to happen? We're going to drive up to some rest bay where the riders.
That's right. There's an Enduro India regroup at the end of today, and it's a place for the riders just to get some fuel, to get some water, and to get their head together before we do the final ride in. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting experience for you. Please don't worry if I'm overtaking buses and moving into gaps that seem impossible. I won't take any risks with you, but you really do have to be progressive in Indian traffic.
Should I close my eyes?
Close your eyes if you like, but if you keep them open, it'll be the thrill of your life.
Okay. All right, let's get on.
All right, no problem.
Oh, right, I'm sitting up. Okay.
We have our first truck pulling out on us.
First truck, yeah.
A common thing in India.
They don't seem to see motorbikes.
They don't look, they don't indicate. They just simply pull out and leave it all to karma.
Right. Maybe I should close my eyes. One thing about India is they always use their horns. They actually ask people on the back of their vehicles to at least toot their horns, don't they?
If you don't use your horn in India, they will not look for you.
No.
So it's one of the scariest things I've ever experienced, to ride a motorway in India with a broken horn.
Can we hear the bullet horn? Is that loud enough?
Not really.
Once we reached the resting base for the rally, I asked Simon why his company used the Bullet.
We use the Bullet because there's a fascination with it. It has the X factor, you know. There's the link, obviously, to the old British bike enthusiasts. Some of the riders are British bike enthusiasts. It's got a great character. It's a single-cylinder machine, so it sounds great, feels great. Its idiosyncrasies are confusing, which make it a lot of fun to ride.
Tell us about some of this character of the bike.
Well, the character of the bike, I mean, Hondas and Kawasaki's and Suzuki's are very, very reliable. In fact, they're so good, they're almost soulless. And the Bullet is so full of things that can go wrong, because it's basically a 1950s bike, that you become emotionally involved with the Bullet, you know? It gives you a much richer experience than, say, riding another more modern bike.
It only forms a kind of attachments at the end of it.
Everyone,
You might want to keep it.
Everyone wants to take their Bullet home, but the bottom line is, if you get it home, it usually sits in the garage, because in England and Europe and the States and Australia, you know, some of the people are from this year, everything's just too fast for the Bullet. You know, it's lovely for a Sunday ride down the lanes or whatever, but if you want to go somewhere, say you want to go, you know, 200 miles up the M4 or something like that, you know, you can't use a Bullet. But here, they're being overtaken now, but they're pretty much still one of the fastest things on the road, so.
Yeah, they're still very popular in India, aren't they?
They are indeed, yeah, they're a very popular bike, and I think they call them the Rajagada, the Royal Vehicle. I probably pronounced that wrong, but they are a wonderful bike, and they've got bags of character, and we love them, you know.
Are they Indian or are they British bikes?
They're both. I mean, if I answered you honestly now, they're an Indian bike, but it's still pretty much to the British design. They are obviously a British bike to look at, so there's only a very few minor changes that have gone on since the 50s or 60s or whatever. So really they're both. I mean, they are manufactured here now. It is an Indian machine, but really it's still it's got a British heart.
The end of the seven-day tour was clearly emotional. There were over 100 bikers all gathered at the journey's end in Calicut, hugging each other, exhausted, some in tears, others elated or just relieved in the bright sunshine.
So you're saying goodbye to your Bullet for the last time?
Yes, I am. I really feel a bit sorry now. I was getting the hang of the traffic, and when it all ended, I felt I could do another 20 or 30 clicks in and out.
Do you think you could go round again?
Oh, I think so, yes. I'd better, you see, because I'm 74 next birthday.
Right.
And I feel that time is running out.
So, ladies, you've just come to the end of the enduro. How's it been?
It's been fantastic. Absolutely wonderful.
One of the best things I've ever
best
done.
Best experience of my life. Definitely.
Oh, we've got two from Britain and you're from Australia.
Yes.
Have you just met on this trip?
Yeah, we
have.
None of us knew anyone.
You wouldn't believe it, would you?
You all ride bikes back home?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. And how's the bullet been?
It's taken a bit of getting used to.
With all the wrong way around to start with.
I know there's four gears in there somewhere. But
yeah. I sort of lost 2 years today, I'm sure.
You get very, very attached to it, definitely.
Why is it? So, other people have said that. They get really
attached
to
it. It got us here.
We're still
without
in one place.
Crashing or killing ourselves. No crashes.
That's sunset. I sat at the back of the car park where all the bikes had been parked up for the last time. I was surrounded by tall coconut trees, as you often are in Kerala. And as the day faded, even the bikes seemed to change colour. Tomorrow they'd be taken away. Some would be auctioned and others donated to the charities that Enduro helps. Sitting there, I could see the riders walking out into the car park in ones and twos, but usually alone. They went up to their bikes, checking, adjusting, rearranging garlands draped over the handlebars. They were saying goodbye. That's where I met John, a retired policeman from Huddersfield. I asked him if he could see his bike.
I can see it over there, parked very proudly. It's carried me safely for 7 days, and we've become big buddies in those 7 days. When I jumped on it at first, I thought, well, it's just a lump of iron. Then it suddenly began to dawn on me that when I was 18, I used to ride something like this. And it's been a very trusted companion over 7 days, and we've been over some horrendous terrain. And I've smiled once or twice at it as it's chugged up the mountain. You've tried to drop a gear and missed it, as you always did on these things. But it's got me there. And I did have a quiet moment with it when we rode in and everybody had gone. I came back and unfastened some water off the back of it. I gave it a pat and said, "You've done well for me, pal. Thank you very much." And to me, it's a mate. It's more than a lump of iron. It's a friend. And it's done really well for me.
That's the thing, is it? It's not just a machine, it's not just a bike, it's more than that, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think if you speak to most of the people here, during the week, they've talked to it. They might have shouted at it a couple of times when it aren't going into gear, but most of the time they've patted it and said, come on, we can get up there, we can do it. Come on, we're going to get around this bender. When you get around the bender, hairpin, and you do it dead on one of these, you've got the right gear, the drive out of the bend is great, and you say to it, oh, great stuff. And it isn't just you, it's you and that machine. You're bonded.
Why is it? Why is that with a bullet? Why not any other bike? What is it?
It's because it's the sound it makes. It's the grinding it does. It's the groaning it does. It's more or less saying to you, oh, I can't do this. And you're saying, come on, you can, you can get there, you know. And it does.
So the riders were on their way home, and it was time for me to return home as well. A campsite in Devon was my next stop, to meet a group of enthusiasts who still keep their bullets on the road.
The British section of the Royal Enfield Owners Club has been going now for some 23, 4 years, something like that. I've been a member for 20, and they organise various events around the country, this being one of them in the southwest, all over the country, up into Scotland, Wales, Norfolk, Yorkshire, and various different people turn up at different rallies because of their local area.
And what is it about particularly the Enfield Bullet? What makes that bike so special?
It's special for me, I think mainly because it was my first bike that I ever started. I started my father's bike accidentally at the age of 9 or 10 in the garden after he'd come back from nights. And he was not best pleased, shall we say, and in those days I got a bit of a more than a clip round the ear hole. But after that, having bought my own Enfield, I never ever did start it that easy again.
Well, we do rallies all the year, all mainly bank holidays, and they go all over the country. And there's no competition, there's no winning a cup or anything, or the best bike or anything. You just go out, and like today, they've gone off for a ride around, gone about 60 mile, and it's just an enjoyable weekend.
Well, it's sort of something that I get a lot of enjoyment from using, but the great thing about it is that it asks something from me at the same time. You have to put in something into it to get something out, rather than a modern piece of machinery that's just completely dependable and without any character as such, and will be the same as a thousand other
things. If you treat this with kindness, it kind of returns.
Absolutely, yeah. Sometimes it may just let you down, just to keep you on your toes, but in general, you look after it, and it'll look after you.
If the Enfield bullet was alive as a, say, an animal or a human being, what kind of how would you define it? Is it your great aunt? Is it your mother-in-law? Is it a horse?
Well, if it was an animal, a rhino.
Why would you call it a rhino?
Because it sort of thumps around and it's sort of sturdy and rugged, shall we say.
Out on the road, Em and Louise were two other fans of the bike.
I first came across the bullet on a very exciting trip to India. I enjoyed riding it so much that I decided when I came back to buy one, and I flew back to Heathrow on the Sunday night, and Monday morning I bought myself a 350 bullet. Which is my first bullet and my first love, I suppose, because I now have that bullet in my living room as an objet d'art. I don't think I shall use it again, but it's such a beautiful looking machine, and in the evenings I have it lit up so that all the chrome is shining, and my grand plan is eventually to turn the fuel tank into a wine dispenser, and at parties to be able to serve maybe champagne out of it or some jolly good Rioja.
It makes me take stock of the speed at which I'm living my life. It makes me take stock of the speed at which I'm travelling around. I can't go fast on a bullet. I don't want to go fast on a bullet. I want to take the time out to actually look at where I'm going and what I'm doing. Beyond that, there's a certain relationship you end up with a bike when you actually get to grips with it, in as much as the bullet, because it is so simple, is something that I've had a go at taking to pieces myself. I'll have a go at anything, as I think any woman should. There's nothing difficult about picking up a cookery book, so therefore the Haynes manual should be no different. The feeling of satisfaction when you go out scratching your head and thinking, well, okay, it's broken, I'm sure I do know how to fix it. It may take me three times as long as somebody else, and that's not necessarily a male thing either. It may take me longer because I don't know what I'm doing straight off the bat, but I will do it. I will achieve it. I will go out there, and eventually at the end of today or tomorrow or perhaps next week, I'll be able to get back on my bike and go out for a ride.
Em, and before her Louise. And so my journey ends. I've come full circle from England to India and back again. Much like the story of the Royal Enfield Bullet, really. Sales of the bike are once again increasing in the UK. And whether you call it Indian or British, in its time, it's become a protector of a nation, a symbol of charity, and gained a devoted following all over the world. Yes, the classic bullet may not be fast. It's not sleek, and it can be temperamental. But in my view, it's our great British survivor. Let the bike have the last say.
Please start.
Riding the Bullet was presented by Steve Carver. The producer was Ekene Akalawu.
Well, they raided four houses here in Basra, Peter. 200 troops from the Scots Guards.
Every time I hear the word Basra, I think that it could be him. Because it's...